A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
A Netflix comedy special.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Bert Kreischer.
In a packed theater, blue lights illuminate the stage. In the audience, a couple of bare-chested guys get to their feet as Bert Kreischer, wearing sunglasses, an unbuttoned blue and gold patterned silk shirt with matching pants and blue and yellow sneakers, strolls on stage and raises a large glass of ice water. He takes off his sunglasses, puts the water down, and turns to the audience. His open shirt reveals his hairy chest and a gold medallion. Open-mouthed, he points towards the ceiling. He turns, and with his bare back to the audience, wiggles his hips and slowly peels off his shirt. Bare-chested, he flings his shirt up in the air. As the shirt flutters down towards the stage, he ducks under the shirt, and the shirt lands on top of the microphone on a stand on stage. He smiles and celebrates. He picks up the shirt and throws it off stage. The title in blue and gold letters appears: Lucky.
It is nice to be home.
Holding the microphone, he puts the stand down and strides across the stage.
It's also nice to not be fat as fuck. I'm still fat, but it got away from me for a little while. I lost 45 pounds. Yeah. I lost so much weight, you're never gonna believe this. I lost so much weight, the other night I saw my wife suck my dick. With my own eyes, I saw it. Chupacabra is real. It freaked me out. I looked down, I'm used to seeing belly, and I went, what the fuck? I freaked her out too. I was like, Alexa, turn on bedroom lights. I kind of wish I hadn't seen it. It's better in your imagination. Like when you're a big guy and you've just been doing it in the dark, not looking over that belly, because if you lean too hard, you shit the bed. You just hear it for years, and it just gets better and better, like sounds like a mom cleaning up her kid's ice cream cone on a hot summer day, just
bringing the base of the microphone up to his mouth, he mimes licking.
Then I saw it. Looked like someone trying boba for the first time, just.
His eyes widen as he gapes.
That scared look, knowing something's about to shoot down their throat, just not when.
Leaning forward, he opens his mouth, then smiles.
I love my wife. She's 50. Ooh, almost threw up saying it.
He brings his hand to his chest.
53. I'll tell ya, baby. Every time I have sex with her, I realize I'm fucking the oldest person I've ever fucked. And I like it. That's the creepy part. Like, if you showed me a picture of my wife naked today to me at 18 years old, I'd be like, am I in a wheelchair? Like, but then you start having sex with a menopausal chick and you're like, fuck yeah. It's like your own baseball glove that you've had for 20 years. Smells good, your fingers fit in it just right. If you put your fingers in it, you're like, why is it so big? I've had it for a long time. Creased in the right places and you've been slamming balls into it for 25 years. Here's the deal, I couldn't fuck what you fuck. You fuck fireball shots, I don't want that. I want menopause, that's a glass of scotch. It's just meant for the men, you wouldn't get it.
He glances down at the front row.
Complex, smoky, full-bodied. I don't even know what I'd say to a 20-year-old after sex. You can play on your iPad for 15 minutes. I need a chick that sweats while she sleeps. They fucking sweat, bro. My wife sweats like a black preacher on Sundays. Hugging her in the morning is like hugging a goddamn dolphin, just wet and her tits stink. No, they're great tits. It's just they smell. I was taking a dump one morning. She's sniffing her bra. I go, what the fuck are you doing? She goes, this don't smell right. I was like, how bad could it be? Like a hockey glove. I was like, we gotta wash your tits, honey. That's my favorite part of your body. They put her on testosterone and progesterone. I'm not allowed to tell you that, but.
He casts a quick glance to one side.
I don't know what it does medically. I can just tell you personally, it turned her into a whore. She is fucking me like she's trying to give me AIDS. This woman has sex like she's trying to earn a green card. I mean, She called me up the other night. She goes, you won't have phone sex? I was like, absolutely. For 20 years, I've wanted to have phone sex. She goes, call me when you get to your tour bus. I sprinted to my tour bus with a hard dick. Do you know how difficult that is? I don't know how rapists do it.
He shrugs.
And then I got there, and I had the pleasure of having phone sex with a 53-year-old woman who's never watched pornography and doesn't know all the cool angles. She's got it on landscape, on a pillow. I'm seeing a little nipple on a ceiling fan.
He frowns.
And you gotta massage that moment. You can't piss her off, because your brain's going, crisscross applesauce, bitch, I wanna see pussy. But you can't say that. You gotta be like, hey, maybe we go portrait mode?
He mimes holding a phone.
On your heel, so I could get like a more of an upward shot of your front bottoms? She just goes, you won't look at my coochie? I'm like, that's not what I said.
He puts his hands up.
She goes, you won't look at my cooter? I'm like, stop talking, let's not talk at all. She goes, I know what you won't watch. You won't watch me butter my bread. I was like, slow down, Dolly Parton.
His hands raise.
And then she started buttering her bread. I was like, yeah, butter your bread. Whatever you call it in Pigeon Forge, do more of that. And then she said to me, she goes, I won't watch you. I was like, that's not how this works.
He mimes holding his penis.
I'm down here, you look at my face. She goes, I'm gonna stop unless I can see you. The most humiliating 3 minutes of my life. My phone portrait mode 3 feet from me, just staring at that little box up top, seeing myself just...
Leaning forward, he mimes jerking off. As he speeds up, he shakes his head. He leans his head to one side. He stops to spit in his hand, and he goes back to jerking off and blinks repeatedly. He stands, then paces across the stage.
And there's a new function on FaceTime. I don't know if you've seen it, but if you give a thumbs up, it blasts a thumbs up for you. And the head of my dick in my hand looks a lot like a thumbs up. I'm hammering the screen, just glish, 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 glish. We're so old, she goes, are people watching us? I don't fucking know. I'm like, am I live streaming this?
He mimes jerking off.
They're liking it, honey. They're really liking it. I didn't think anyone was gonna like this Gilbert Grape sex tape, but fuck it. Just Mama and Arnie going at it. I can climb, Gilbert. I was wearing my readers. Do you know how embarrassing that would have been to leak that? I just look like a sad Santa.
He mimes nudging his glasses up his nose.
Tits touching belly.
Hunched over, he mimes gripping his penis.
Did you get readers yet, sir? You got your readers. You got, that's old people shit right there. That's old people shit. I got readers, I had to. I fought it for a long time. And then we had an incident. Taking my oldest daughter to Georgia to college. We have a travel agent texts and says, I have two trucks on hold for you, an Armada and an Escalade. Now, I am unfamiliar with an Armada. So I just write back, I want the bigger truck. Did you know the letter B on a keyboard?
He looks down at the audience.
Is right next to the letter N. I sent a hate crime to a woman named Felicia. In a panic, I show it to my daughter. She goes, what the fuck did you tell her?
He chuckles.
Luckily, she's cool. She's like, Escalade it is. I don't type the word bigger at all anymore. It's bigger just to be safe. Leanne got me the readers. She took me. She goes to my doctor's appointments now. That's old people shit. When your wife goes and takes notes for you. She goes, I was going to a cardiologist appointment. She goes, I don't think he's saying what you say he's saying. And he absolutely was not. I was to give her the news I wanted to hear. I could work this guy. If I made him laugh, he'd forget what we were talking about and I could get pills. I walked in with her and he goes, what have you been doing to lose weight? And I was like, well, I switched my scale to kilograms.
He opens his eyes wide.
Leanne's like, stop it. And I go, you stop it. This is how I get Xanax. She took me to get readers and she picked out the readers and I put them on and I look cute as fuck with readers on. I put them on at home, laying in the bed, waiting for her to walk in. She walks in, she goes, damn, you look cute in them glasses, boy.
He winks.
I was like, suck this dick, bitch. And she came in to give me a kiss, and I realized I have not seen this woman in high def in 10 fucking years. I stepped on those glasses, saved my marriage. Here's the deal. No, fuck you. I love her. I love her. You know I love her. I do. Hey, if she cheated on me, I'd murder her. That's love, right? Don't worry, I'd kill my daughters too. I'm not gonna be a single parent. Starting clean. I get $2 million if she dies. What the fuck? How are you supposed to be sad at a funeral? When you know you have a boat showing up.
As he chuckles, he opens his mouth and points to an audience member.
Here's the deal. Here's the key. I figured it out. For anyone that's in the situation we're in, our kids are going to college, getting a little older, this is the key to a happy marriage. I do this every morning, and I'm being real. Every morning, I find my wife, no matter where she is, and I don't say anything. I just go up, I give her a big hug, and I lean over her, and I give her a kiss, and she looks up at me, and she kisses me back, and it reminds me, at that moment, of the woman, the girl I married. That's right. That's right. You hear them cheering, gentlemen? It's because they know when they look up, their skin tightens. And if you grab them by the ears and pull back, you're like, there she is. That's the chick that sucks dick on a jet ski. She used to. Yeah, she's a redneck. You ever fuck a redneck? It's like catching a hog in the wild. It's fucking crazy. Real redneck, like discipline your dog with a shovel kind of redneck. Like we had to get rid of a couple of her dad's flags kind of redneck. She's so redneck, she's got two cousins who are married.
He raises his eyebrows.
And they have a child.
His jaw drops open.
My daughter Isla heard that and goes, that's not supposed to happen. My wife, the love of my life, said to all of us with a straight face, a phrase I will put on a fucking t-shirt one day. She looked at us with a straight face and goes, shit. They's kin, but they ain't blood.
As he takes a step backwards, he gawks.
We're talking about incest, you know that. And she says, they's kin, but they ain't blood? I met their child.
His eyes widen.
They blood. They blood as fuck. They Suge Knight blood. What's up, cuss? This mouth-breathing, window-licking ninny. He's the dumbest person I've ever met, and I grew up in Lutz, okay? I'm in Alabama, I'm on the dock, sun setting, shirts off, cocktail in my hand, having a moment, and all of a sudden, I smell baby redneck. Cheetos and mellow yellow. Look over, sling blade staring at me. He just goes, hey, mister, throw me in the water.
He raises his eyebrows and wide-eyed glances from side to side. He frowns, lowers his gaze, and looks back up.
I go, just jump. He goes, nah, throw me in the water. I go, buddy, if you lean, it'll happen. And then he smiles. He goes, come on, mister, do me WWE style. Throw me in the water. I'm like, bitch, it's on. I had two little girls. I never got to fuck them up. I'm gonna fuck this kid up. If I do my job right, I'll knock the wind out of him, which is the sweetest sound you'll ever hear out of a child. Just, hey, hey. Top five best sounds you'll ever hear. Number one, woman org. Or no, number one, deaf person laughing. That's the best fucking sound. And that's meant with love. It's just joy, unbridled, uncut. No fentanyl. You get two deaf people laughing, it sounds like they're kicking pigeons. Secret time, I had a hotel room next to two deaf people fucking once.
His wide eyes shift.
I jacked off twice. I did. I thought they were fighting over a pizza. Anyway, so I grabbed this fat fuck by the throat, turn him around, back to the lake, pop him up, Undertaker choke slam, just whoo! And as I push, I hear his mom at the house go, he can't swim! Fucking Lenny from Of Mice and Men here forgot that he never learned how to swim, and now I look like the hand of God, just die, devil seed! Radio hits the water, he disappears. Now all the moms are like, Bert, save that baby boy! Part of me is thinking, maybe this is natural selection. But I saved him. He kin. Shit, he kin to himself. Get him to the shallow water. And he says the best sentence I've ever heard a child say. Can you guess it? Nope, nope, nope. 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 I can't swim. I was like, no shit, fuckface. That's why we're both wet right now. You know that, huh? And then he looks at me and goes, mister, I thought I had my life preserver on. Broke my heart. I've been there. I was like, buddy, those are your titties. And then his mom comes down, lights him up. She goes, you know, I don't know what's wrong with that boy. I was like, Leanne comes down and yells at me, because apparently I took my vape pen out of my pocket before I jumped in the water. Then they leave, and it's just me and him in chest-high water, like two limp dicks in an orgy. He looks at me and goes, well, I'm sorry, mister, but I didn't mean to get us in trouble. But if I put my life preserver on, would you throw me in the water? I was like, buddy, I can't think of anything I want to do more in this fucking world than spend my day getting high throwing your ass in the water. And every time he got up to the edge of the dock, it made me laugh because he'd go, hold on now. It's on. Dude, this kid's lucky to be alive. I'm the luckiest person you'll ever meet. I'm telling you right now, I don't deserve anything I have. Beautiful wife, beautiful kids, great. I'm so lucky that if you hang out with me, you'll get lucky. I swear to God. I'm so lucky that if you lose something, I'll be the person that finds it. If I'm there, I'll find it. I'm gonna tell you two stories. One, little sample story so you understand what we're talking about. The other one, that's the big story. Sample story. 13 years ago, I take the girls to the beach, me and Leanne. We sit in between a motocross couple and a black couple. I say motocross because they're white and covered in tattoos. Now. Yeah. How do you say it?
He glances out at the audience, laughs, and takes a couple of steps backwards.
This show's going really well. Black guy takes his blanket, flips it to get the sand off, wedding ring flies off his finger into the sand. He goes, oh shit, I just lost my wedding ring. I hear the word lost, my dick gets hard, boom. I know my superhuman power. I stand up, I said, my name's Bert Kreischer. I find lost things. Leanne knows, she goes, oh shit, here we go again. She goes, here's the deal, buddy, he's gonna find your wedding ring. You gotta put up with all the bullshit he's about to put you through. And so we all search, motocross couple, black couple, my family, we all search for 30 minutes, then they give up. Now it's just me and the black dude on our hands and knees, like a team, like Blazing Saddles. That's probably a bad example. We search for 30 minutes, then he gives up. He says, we're not gonna find it. I said, you are not gonna find it. My name's Bert Kreischer. I find lost things, don't ever forget that. He sits down, and I search by myself for maybe 5 minutes, and as my fingers glide through the sand, his wedding ring slides onto my finger as if the Lord himself placed it there and said, don't let them forget who you are.
He raises his arm.
And what you do. I got chill bumps. I stood there silent. No one's looking at me. I look at the motocross guy. I go, hey man, you got Google on your phone? He goes, yeah. I said, Google the name Bert Kreischer. See what it says he does. Leanne goes, oh shit, he just found your wedding ring. Motocross guy goes, it says he finds lost things. Black guy goes, you found my ring? I go, I'm not speaking to you right now. I look at his wife, I said, what's my name, what do I do? She stands up and she goes, sugar, your name is Bert Kreischer, you find lost things. I said, make him say it.
He nods.
She goes, say his name, motherfucker. He goes, your name is Bert Kreischer, you find lost things. I said, look up and tell the Lord. He says, his name is Bert Kreischer, he finds lost things. I go, I found your ring, motherfucker!
He gives him the finger, laughs, paces across the stage, and raises his hand.
That's the small story. I found a child one time. Alive, not in a dumpster, alive. 4th of July, 5 years ago, I'm with the girls, we're in a parade, no shirt, backpack full of beer, I'm wasted, I'm a good dad. Now. Little boy, kindergarten age, is walking upstream, freaking out, crying. I dropped to a knee. I said, buddy, what's going on? He goes, I lost my family. Boom, I hear the word lost, my dick gets hard. For the right reason. I said, buddy, my name's Bert Kreischer. I find lost things. My girls are next to me going, he does, he does. I said, buddy, is your mom here? And he goes, I don't know. I said, what's your mom's name? He goes, I don't know. Isla hits me and goes, keep it moving, big guy. I said, what? She goes, he's a gypsy. Keep walking.
He frowns.
I go, he's not a, she goes, dad, this is how they pick your pockets. I saw it on TikTok. Let's go. I was like, you're off TikTok. Lean down. I go, buddy, is your dad here? And he goes, I don't know. I said, what's your dad's name? He goes, I don't know. Now I'm like, okay, we might have a gypsy. Georgia, the smartest of the three of us, looks at us and says, both of you stop. She goes, buddy, my name's Georgia. What's your name? And you see him settle a little, but he goes, Nathan? She goes, Nathan, this is my daddy. People call him Bert. What do people call your daddy when they see him? And he's still panicked, but he's settled. He goes, I don't know. David? Maybe Michael? Georgia's like, all right, I think we have a gypsy. So we grab this boy. Girls hold his hands. I'm behind him, loud as fuck. We walk upstream in the parade, and I'm just going, we found a boy! Brand new baby boy! Anyone lose on Nathan? I remember this one mom going, what are you doing with that child? I'm like, oh, his Tinder's down. I'm trying to get him laid. Go fuck yourself! Nosy whore. Anyway, finally this dad recognizes Nathan. Their kids are in the same class. So I go up to the dad, I go, yo, he lost his family. I'm losing my buzz. Can you skinny this up for me? He goes, his family's at the party next door. They're in the front yard. I go, cool. Nathan, you stay with my girls. Boom, I'm coming back with your family. I go to the party next door, excited. It's packed. I kill a beer out of my backpack, put it in their mailbox. I go, I found a boy. His name's Nathan. Anyone lose a Nathan? Nothing. All of a sudden, I hear Isla's little squeaky voice. She goes, is there a David? Maybe a Michael here? I said, what the fuck are you doing? She goes, getting rid of that gypsy, dad. This dad, 10 feet from me, goes, my name's David. I said, you have a son? He said, yeah. I said, is his name Nathan? He goes, yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. Isla steps forward and goes, did you think this was a magic trick? He goes, Nathan doesn't get lost. I go, well, I found one. Want to lay some eyes on this piece of shit, see if it's yours? He goes, I guess. And we start walking. I go, Nathan! And the second I yell Nathan, a dad comes sprinting out of the backyard. This father has lost his child. He's like, did someone say they found a Nathan? And I said, I did. And he goes, my name's Michael. I'm like, thank fucking God. I go, David, you can go fuck yourself. I found his dad. And David gets irate. He goes, son of a bitch! God damn it, Michael, have you been drinking? He goes, I had one drink, David. He goes, you were supposed to be watching Nathan. I'm like...
Bert's jaw drops open, and he lowers his gaze. He pants repeatedly.
How did I not solve this Scooby-Doo mystery? Isla's next to me going, is he a gypsy? I'm like, shut your fucking mouth. She watches them fight for 2 more seconds. It hits her like a tsunami. She goes, oh! Georgia, we found out why he doesn't know his mom's name! I told that story to 2 people the day it happened. The day, first person, Joey Diaz. Best reaction I've ever gotten. The best. I see Joey in a park full of liberal parents in LA. I tell him the story. When I say, Michael, have you been drinking? Loud as fuck, he goes, they're fucking gay! Second person I tell, my wife, Leanne. And when I say David, maybe Michael, at the beginning of the story, she looks at me and goes, oh, his daddy's a sugarfoot?
He leans forward, his mouth ajar.
I said, no, they didn't have diabetes, Leanne. She goes, no, honey, a sugarfoot, that's what we calls it in the South when you's gay. He's just a little bit of a sugarfoot. It's a polite way of saying gay. It's like, oh, thanks, Paula Deen. What other candy-coated hate slurs do you have? She's a good person. She really is. She, like, I'm not saying I'm a good person. Like, I laugh at horrible shit. Like, the more you're not supposed to laugh, That's my thing. Like, I can't help it. And if it pisses Leanne off, oh, I'm gone. We took a flight one time, Miami to LAX, right? Check in Miami, go up to the front counter, drop off our bags. And I say to the lady right before I go, hey, do you have any upgrades for a first class? And she goes, I have one. I was like, cool, I'll take it. She goes, what about your wife? I said, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you said you only had one. She goes, you're not gonna give it to your wife? And I went, absolutely not. I said, I'd like to drink on planes. She's like a Mennonite. She's gonna raw dog this flight. She'll stare at a wall for 6 hours. I like to get down. And then Leanne goes, what about me? What about chivalry? I go, baby, chivalry was created before upgrades. It doesn't count. Leanne was pissed the whole time at the airport, livid. And then we get on the plane. She stops at my seat. She goes, come on now. I went, no, you're in steerage. Keep walking. Yeah, no, have fun dancing with Leo and the Italian kid at the bottom of the boat. Looks like fun. You'll have a blast. She goes three rows behind me in bulkhead. I'm in first class. Get my drink, double Jack on the rocks, lots of rocks. Take my first sip. Oh. And then I hear, very loud, I hear. Everyone freezes. I text Leanne. I go, was that you? Leanne writes back, no, asshole. There is a special needs woman on our flight. I said, what does that mean? She writes back, well, I think you just heard it. She has a fear of flying, and it's bringing out some nervous tics, one of which is squealing like an elephant. I said, what's the other one? She goes, well, she's flailing pretty violently. I write back.
Closing his eyes, he giggles.
Is she hot? No reply, not even a bubble. Then I write back, where is she sitting? And she writes back, your seat, asshole. All right, this is when the laugh started. I could not hold it in. I am dying laughing. Because I'm listening to this energy behind me, three rows of, and anytime anyone walks into coach, they all have the same reaction. They're like, dear God. So before the flight takes off, I go up to the flight attendant. I do the right thing. I said, hey, my wife is sitting next to that special needs woman. And even the flight attendant's like, holy shit. I said, well, I'm going to switch with her. And she goes, oh, you are a good man. I was like, I know. I said, here's the deal, though. I need to drink on this plane. My wife, she's going to sit in first class. She's a square. She won't touch any alcohol. But if you can load me up with alcohol, I'll be cool. Look, I have a fear of flying. We'll probably connect. So you keep me drinking, and we'll be straight for the whole flight. She says this to me. And if you drink on a plane, you know how precious this statement is. She looks around, and she goes, kill your drink. I'll make you a fresh one.
He blinks rapidly and gapes.
I murder my drink. She makes me a fresh one. Then she gives me two baby bottles of Jack's, puts them in my pocket, and goes, that'll get you to cruising altitude. I'll hit you before I cover anyone in first class.
Raising his arms, he takes a couple of steps backwards.
Before I leave, she grabs me again, and she goes, just, you know, more men should be like you. Yeah, what she doesn't know is all I'm thinking is, shit, I gotta start traveling with a special needs person. If they let you drink like this, I'm like, come on, Corgi, we're flying to London. Hey. So I get my drink, walk past all those selfish people in first class, get to coach. I pull back the curtain, and I was not prepared for what I saw. It looked like a Waffle House at 4 a.m. Lord of the Flies, people, and it is all orchestrated by this special needs woman who is 6'5". She's a big bitch. She looks like Gronk's sister, flailing violently. And upon further inspection, I realize she has oven mitts duct taped to her goddamn hands. I handed Leanne the drink. I was like, enjoy your flight. There you go.
Shaking his head, he paces across the stage.
Walked up to the flight attendant. I go, she didn't want to switch. What are you going to do? I couldn't stop laughing. Let's be clear, I'm not laughing at the special needs person. I'm not. That's not what's making me laugh. What was making me laugh was the family member who took it upon themselves to duct tape oven mitts, not even matching oven mitts. One was a lobster claw. The other one said too hot to handle. Duct tape them to her goddamn hands and then say, hey, enjoy the West Coast. What the fuck? I was crying laughing for the whole flight. Drinking like I blacked out, passed out. Wake up, get off the plane. I'm waiting for Leanne to come out. And out comes Leanne with old hamburger helper. They look like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito in Twins. I'm thinking, shit, is she Ken? Leanne looks at me, chill, and she goes, she's okay. She's good. We gonna help her get her luggage. I was like, yeah, she probably can't get them with the oven mitts. Leanne's like, we're taking them off her right now. I was like, the fuck we are. Someone that loves her, duct tape them to her hands. They know something we don't know. I'm not taking them off to find out we're hanging out with Wolverine, okay? I couldn't stop laughing for the whole night. In the car, at home, Leanne was livid, and that's my favorite laugh. When it's just pissing off your spouse. We get in bed, I'm naked, drunk as shit, pass out. Wake up the next morning, and we forgot we were fighting. Roll over, start kissing, start having sex. And in the middle of sex, Leanne brings her hands up.
Miming wearing oven mitts on both hands, he waves.
It hit me like a ton of bricks. I start laughing immediately, come instantly. Doubled over going, oven mitts, oven mitts, oven mitts. Get out of the bed, and Leanne starts laughing. I go, finally you get it. She goes, oh, I get it, all right. Did you take a shit at the airport yesterday?
He frowns.
I go, maybe. She goes, feel your ass cheek. I reach back. The paper toilet seat cover was still there. I sat so long on the toilet, it cotton candied itself to my legs and ass. I put my jeans on over it, walked it to the plane, sat on it for a 6-hour flight. I slept it. I fucked my wife in it. Now I have a look of terror and she's laughing. She goes, hell, I just fucked a special needs person. My daughters don't like that joke. My daughters don't like my act. They saw my act and they go, you're a misogynist. I was like, well, luckily you're women. No one's listening to you. Didn't laugh at that either. They said to me, they go, Dad, for this special, can you write one feminist joke for the women in your audience that are feminists? Okay. I hope you enjoy it. Don't forget, I wrote it. And it's gonna get a little political, okay? It does, it will, but I'm cool, so I'm doing this for my girls.
Gripping the microphone with both hands, he exhales through his mouth.
Women across the board are better than men. I mean that, and any guy on the fence, I can prove it right now. Gentlemen, have you ever been about to go down on your chick and she stops you and goes, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I'm not so fresh down there. And as a guy, you're like, oh.
His eyes widen.
Good looking out. Ladies.
Taking a few steps forward, he raises his left index finger.
Have you ever been about to suck a guy's dick? And he stops you and goes, whoa, whoa, hold up. I wouldn't do that if I were you. I had a long day at work and I'm not so fucking never, 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 never. A guy will dab and sniff and go, she won't smell that.
He rubs his penis.
No, it's just slippery. It doesn't smell.
He smells his hand.
Yeah, that's called duck butter is what that is.
He touches his butt.
It's my asshole that smells. Her nose will be here. My asshole's here. How the fuck? You know what? I'll put it on her pillow. She'll think it's her. There you go. For that reason, that is why I, Bert Kreischer, wholeheartedly and honestly believe that a man should never legislate what a woman does with her body. Because every man in this room, every congressman, every man in Senate, our president of the United States, all of us, were so arrogant at one point in our lives that we thought we knew better about a woman's body than her, and we went down there anyway. You only do it once, but we had that bro cocky energy like, I'm good.
He bends down.
I love you. There's not a smell you could make that would...
He retches.
Oh my God, did you ride a horse here? Oh my God, we gotta get you a new bike seat. Something's off. Oh my God, no. I can do this.
He touches his brow.
My name is Johnny Knoxville, and this is a Stinky Pussy Challenge. That's a political joke. My daughters will never hear that. Those fucking idiots. They found out I was stupid recently. Like, I knew I was stupid. Leanne knows I'm stupid. I used to think Helen Keller and Anne Frank were the same person. That's real. I found that out at the Anne Frank house. We do the tour. Me and my buddies were high as shit. And the whole tour, I'm pulling them aside going, you know she had a dog, right? And they're like...
He narrows his eyes.
What? I go, yeah, he ran away. Oh, you would too if your name was...
Frowning, he blinks.
We go into her kitchen and I go, here's where she burned her fingers. They're like, how did she burn her fingers? I was like, she was trying to read the waffle iron.
He mimes reading Braille.
This lady turns around and goes, I'm so sorry, are you telling Helen Keller jokes? And these guys realize by the look on my face, I don't know who the fuck Anne Frank is. And I think we're at Helen Keller's house. They get the ultimate laugh. The ultimate laugh is when you're high and you want to laugh, but you can't because you're at a fucking Holocaust museum. For my daughters, they found out I took them on a trip to Italy, and we went to Rome. Did you know that Rome, Italy, is the same Rome as the Roman Empire?
He looks around the theater.
Okay. All of you? All right, show of hands. Did you know Julius Caesar was a real person?
Audience members raise their hands.
Okay, I didn't know that one. We're at a big tour, and they're talking about Julius Caesar and Cleopatra, a bunch of fake names. And I hit my daughter, George. I go, yo, is he a real person? And she looks at me, this fucking tart. Goes, that's a great question for the group, Dad.
He raises his hand. He nods.
Yeah, quick question. We know about the dressing and the pizza, but... We went to the David, the statue of the naked dude with the arm up like this. Michelangelo did it. We go to the David, and I hit George. I go, yo, why has he got a small dick? She goes, another great question for the group, Dad. Hand up. I got a banger in my pocket. Now, this time, when I started to ask my question, the whole group turns to watch. I said, yeah, why does he have a small dick? The guy goes, that's a great question. Because Michelangelo knew if he gave him a big dick, guys like you would just stare at his dick.
He raises his eyebrows.
I was like, yeah, that tracks. I'm looking at it small. We don't look good as a family. You ever look at your family and go, we are no dream team. We don't even look like we know each other. Isla is dressed like Big J Okerson. Georgia's got no bra, nose ring, tatted up. Leanne has got a fanny pack on, tucked in shirt, matte. She looks like a trans Joe Rogan. I'm drunk and sweating and I'm supposed to be their fucking leader? I am no dream team leader, I will tell you that. My daughter Isla her brain is different. I mean, like I have impulse control problems. I think that's pretty well documented. Isla's got wild impulse control problems. Like during the pandemic, if she saw me drinking, she would get on the arm of my recliner, get on my phone, get on Amazon, and scroll wildly. Be like, hey, big guy, how much do you think her refrigerator costs? You're like, a big one? She goes, no, mini fridge. I go, $150. She goes, if I told you they're $79, how many would you buy?
His eyes widen.
I go, four? She goes, done, son, click. Have you ever ordered something blackout drunk on Amazon and had to figure out what it was the next day when it showed up? Yeah, well, I didn't have to guess when I saw four fucking mini fridges on our front porch. And these aren't baby fridges. These are Tyrion Lannister-sized refrigerators. Worst one ever. Worst one ever. Girls want to learn how to skateboard. We lived on a one-way street, but cars would fly up the wrong way all the time. So I'm at dinner with the girls and Leanne, and I go, you know what? I figured it out. I'm going to buy traffic cones, and I'll post them up at the end of the street. That way people have to slow down. Everyone respects a traffic cone. Leanne's a redneck. She goes, dummy, you don't buy traffic cones. You steal traffic cones.
He giggles.
She goes, ain't no one buying no goddamn traffic cone. They didn't even sell them motherfuckers at Walmart. And now I'm thinking, I've actually never seen a traffic cone for sale. Yeah, Isla's already on Amazon with a handful of traffic cones. She goes, don't listen to Forrest Gump, Dad. Take a look.
He minds holding up a phone.
I go, Isla's got traffic cones. She goes, them's ain't no big boy traffic cone. Them baby boy traffic cone. Them little... My accents are getting worse, I think. I turned her into a Cajun chef. You two poontanging around with them baby boy traffic cone. Ain't no big boy traffic cone. I go, Isla, you got big boy traffic cones? Real confident, she goes, size 8. I said, is that big? Biggest ones they got. I go, fucking hook it up. She goes, how many you want, big dog? I go, fuck it, 8. She looks at Leanne and Georgia and goes, done, son. I lean into the two of them and I go, I can't wait to see the look on your faces when we fucking kill this. And we waited for 4 days for our traffic cones. On the fourth day, Leanne and Georgia are out running errands. I'm home with Isla. I see the Amazon guy walk across my front yard with a rack of big boy traffic cones. Puts them on the front porch, tall as an NBA player. I got chill bumps. I was like, Isla, we fucking killed it! Isla comes out, sees them in the window, and goes, oh, dems ain't no baby boy traffic cone. I said, nope. She goes, dem big boy traffic cone. I said, how do you think we should show them to Mom in Georgia? She goes, I think we should block off our street. Close off our street, Dad. Make them apologize on the corner to us. We're celebrating so hard, I don't see the Amazon guy walk across our yard with another rack of 8 traffic cones. No, it's the third rack I see. That's 24. That's a lot of goddamn traffic cones. My stomach drops. I go to the front door. I go, buddy, there's got to be a mistake. He goes, oh, no mistake. Van's filled with traffic cones. He leaves. Isla comes to the front door and goes, look at all them traffic cones. I go, lose the accent, Bobby Boucher. How many traffic cones did you get? She goes, $2,400 worth.
His jaw drops open.
She's like, is that a lot? And I go, bitch, road crews don't use that many traffic cones. A hurricane doesn't need that many fucking traffic cones. On the fifth rack of traffic cones, Amazon guy said to me with a straight face, he goes, you guys opening a Chick-fil-A? He leaves, and there I am in the front yard with Simple Jack staring down racks of traffic cones like dead hookers in the back of a trunk. I'm panicking. She's problem solving. She goes, don't worry. We'll hide them. I go, where are we hiding all these traffic cones? She goes, we'll dig a hole. I was like, oh, my God. I go, you don't think your mom's going to notice 7 shallow graves in the front yard? All of a sudden, I hear Leanne's car pull up. Isla looks at me and goes, act cool. Doors open, and Leanne and Georgia are cackling like 2 seagulls. I hear Georgia go, dem big boy traffic cone. I turn around, I go, there's a mistake. And Leanne goes, size 8, huh? You dummies know 8 was the quantity. You got 64 traffic cones. I said, you knew that and didn't stop us? She goes, hell yeah, we won't see the look on your stupid fucking face. Now, both of you, get back on Amazon right now. I said, we'll return them. She goes, hell no, buy you some oven mitts and some duct tape. You're done on Amazon, boy.
Gripping the mic with both hands, he chuckles and crosses the stage.
My kids are growing up, and I don't like it.
He shakes his head.
I don't like it. Georgia got caught smoking weed.
He frowns.
Would you sell it to her? I was not as happy as you were, sir. I was on location. I was shooting a TV show. I got a call from Leanne. She's like, we got a problem. I said, what's up? She goes, Georgia got caught smoking weed. And I was like, I lost my shit. I go, what the fuck? I go, who gave it to her? And she goes, it was your weed. I go, she's a thief too? I lost my shit. Like my dad, I lost it. I go, I'm gonna fucking light that bitch up. You tell her she broke my heart. Tell her she's a liar, and she needs to earn my trust back, and it's never going to happen because I don't fucking trust her anymore. And tonight, we're getting on FaceTime, and it will not end until she's fucking crying. And I hung up the phone. I was having lunch with Snoop Dogg. And Snoop is looking at me in a panic. He's just like, hey, problems on the home front? I said, yeah. You're probably a good guy to bounce this off of. I go, my daughter smoked marijuana. And Snoop goes, that's it? I go, she's 15, Snoop. And he goes, how old were you the first time you smoked? And I go, that's irrelevant. It was a different time. He goes, yeah, it was illegal, dummy. He goes, and you gonna light that bitch up for just smoking weed? I said, yeah, that's how I parent. He goes, I ain't gonna let that happen. Not to my niece. You ain't gonna light her up tonight, I'll tell you that right now. He goes, what's happening with you, Bert, is your little girl's growing up and it's fucking up your heart as a man and as a daddy. And what you gonna do, you're gonna take all that grown man energy and you're gonna dump it on that little girl, and it's gonna break her heart. And she's not gonna trust you because you're gonna look like a hypocrite, and it's gonna cause a fracture in your relationship. I go, wait, when the fuck did you turn into a doctor?
He holds his hand up.
He goes, tonight after work, I want you to come by my trailer. I'm gonna cool you the fuck down.
He shifts his weight from side to side.
I said, what do you mean? He goes, you know what I mean. That's what I'm just asking. And he goes, playa? And he comes in real close with that pimp drawl of his. And he goes, playa, we's gonna take a shot.
He raises his eyebrows and blinks repeatedly.
I said, what the fuck did you say? He goes, bitch, you heard me, and don't tell nobody neither. And he gets up and he leaves. And I'm like, I'm not gonna invite more people to take a shower with me and Snoop Dogg. Like, what the I was in a panic. I called Leanne right back. I go, Snoop wants to shower with me. She goes, honey, he didn't say that. It's gotta be hip hop slang. You're gonna be over at his place, there'll be some hoes, you spray champagne on them, and you'll have a better time. I was like, yeah, that's probably what it is. So I go over to his trailer, knock on the door after work, shirts off, swear to God. Opens the door and he goes, I knew you'd show up. And it's just him in his trailer. I said, really? And he goes, yeah, white boys love this shit. Which is kind of true. We do love gay shit. Like, if I could sneak around and put my dick on his shoulder, he'd be like, got me. We love gay shit. It's our love language to our friends. It really is. Hardest I ever made Tommy laugh. Tom Segura is a disabled comedian who, yeah, I don't know if you know who he is. Disabled comedian who can't do that. Hardest I ever made Tommy laugh, I put my dick and balls in a wine glass in Hawaii and went up behind him and I went, cocktail? We love gay shit. So he's accurate. I go, hold on. I go, I really have never done this, Snoop. And he goes, bullshit. I said, well, I have in high school and in college, but I go, you do this? And he goes, yeah, sometimes with friends. I said, like, who? He goes, I did it with Dr. Dre 2 weeks ago. I was like, you and Doc, did you do it at the same time? And he goes, Bert, that's the only way to do it. What the fuck's wrong with you? He goes, I thought you were cool, Bert. And I was like, no, I'm very cool. I'm cool, and I start walking to his bathroom. And Snoop goes, where the fuck are you going? I said, I'm going to your shower.
He points.
He goes, why? I said, you said we was going to take a shower. He's like, bitch, I said we was gonna take a shot. I went, oh my God, that's so much better.
He touches his heart.
No, I thought you said we were gonna take a shower, but yeah, let's take a shot. And Snoop's not laughing. He goes, no, I don't wanna take a shot no more. I think I wanna be alone right now. He goes, you came over here to shower? I said, well, it was your idea. And he goes, no, it fucking wasn't. Even if it was my idea, you showed the fuck up? I was like, well, I was really upset. He goes, wait, if I didn't stop you right now, where the fuck would you be? I said, in your shower? He said, doing what? And I said, waiting for you? Snoop Dogg reaches into his pocket, pulls out a blunt, lights it, hits it. He goes, fuck you, I know why your daughter smokes weed, Bert.
He picks up the glass and takes a sip of water.
Hey, can someone on my team grab me a towel? Real quick, I'm sweating my dick off. Dude, Florida sweat is fucking different. It's like, listen, if you didn't grow up with this shit and you come here, like, what's up with your goddamn city? And you're like, why, your balls dripping? Into your fucking shit. Your balls drip sweat. It's amazing. Any shirt will do. Just take the shirt off your body and give it to me. I have one more story I want to tell you, and it's a doozy. Thank you, Kyle. Ladies and gentlemen, Kyle, ex-military.
Kyle hands Bert a towel. Bert dabs his face with the towel and throws it off stage.
Get ready. We put our dog down.
He bursts out laughing.
It gets funnier, okay? She was a great dog. She really was. Priscilla was her name. First big dog I ever had. Bull Mastiff. Best goddamn dog. I remember the first night we got her. You know when you get a puppy and they're nervous and they're scared? But they're home and you need to tell them that. And everyone's playing with her, but she's just off by a little bit. Girls go to bed. Leanne goes to bed. I stay up drinking whiskey with this dog. And I'm drunk talking to her, you know? It's just like, I remember saying to her, I said, baby girl, you are about to have the best life. You have nothing to be nervous about. Those little girls are gonna love the shit out of you day and night. That woman in there will take care of your every need. Me, I'm gonna be in and out. But I said, here's the deal I need from you. For all that stuff, all I need is when I'm gone, I need you to be my terrorist. Anyone walks through that door, you have to give your life. You die first, then they die. And this puppy closed her eyes, put her head on my lap, and went, I'm home. You ever get so high? You cuddle with your dog and your dick gets hard?
He glances around and sighs.
Me either. No one? Okay, one time. You did too, don't you? I took way too many edibles at night. Woke up the next morning, still high. Priscilla gets in bed with me. I am cuddling so hard with her. I didn't even realize my dick was hard. Leanne came in, saw it, and goes, who's that hard dick for? And I could not stop laughing. And I just went, Priscilla, she's the only one that makes my dick hard. Leanne hated that joke. I would do it every morning when I saw her in the kitchen. I'd come out and pet Priscilla and go, you know you're the only one that makes my dick hard. Leanne would be like, stop it, that's not funny, that's gross. That's why I did it. We bought a new dog, another Bull Mastiff, Mac. Not the greatest dog. He's a great dog, I love him, but he's kind of a whore and he's stupid as fuck. And he loves my dick. I mean, this dog, if he sees my dick, he's like, oh, that's mine. I'm eating that today. You can't even jerk off in front of this dog. Priscilla, you go to jerk off, she'd walk outside and be like, I'm gonna let you do your thing. Max sees you jerking off, he gets right next to you like, you gonna throw that stick or what? I was having sex with Leanne one time, doggy style. I thought he'd appreciate it. Smack her on the ass, and I realized at that moment that is her dog, not my dog. He fucking lit up just, hurr! And I popped out of Leanne with this pheromone stick floating around. His eyes go in the back of his head. He goes, I'm eating that today. I'm panicked. I got this 150-pound beast on the bed. The dog's coming at me. I don't know what to do. Good, everyone got it?
He paces across the stage.
So one morning, Priscilla wakes up. She's having a hard time breathing. Take her to the vet. Vet says to us, it's not good. She has a tumor on her heart. We're gonna have to put her down. Now, here's the deal. I grew up, like a lot of the men in this room, with a father who taught me not to cry. Anytime I cried as a young man, he'd say, hey, don't be a bitch. Suck it up, be a fucking man. I don't wanna see you fucking crying. As a matter of fact, when I had daughters, I remember my dad pulling me aside and going, hey, don't ever let your daughter see you cry. They need to know that they're safe and that you're in charge and you have stuff under control. If you have to cry, God forbid, you go into the closet, you go into a shower, you get that shit out, and then you come out and you handle your shit. It's not healthy, we know that now. But adversely, what I do when I get emotional, like a lot of the guys in this room, I make a joke. Because if I laugh, I stop crying. Wasn't very useful in the vet's office. He says, we're going to have to put her down. Leanne starts crying, and I'm start thinking of jokes. But Leanne goes, are we going to do it here? And he goes, no, you can do it at home. And I go, oh, you want me to do it? I go, what do I, throw her in the pool? This guy has put down a lot of dogs, and he's never heard anyone reply with a joke. And that's the best time to deliver a joke. He is crying laughing. He can't even fight. He's like, no, 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 no. I go, do I put a pillow over her snout and wait till her tail stops wagging? Lift it up and drop it like the old wrestling moves? Now he's crying laughing and he's like, hold on, stop, no. He goes, I have a woman who will kill her for you. I went, what? He's like, now you got me doing it, you sick fuck. I remember saying to him, is she good? He goes, buddy, there's no gray area. They either kill him or they don't kill him. He goes, you tell me your definition of good. And I look at him and I said, she breaks into my house at 2:30 in the morning. Kills that dog while we sleep. Then she grabs my other animals, sedates them, super glues their paws together, and puts them in a prayer circle around her. And that's how we find her in the morning. And he goes, fuck, that is good. Leanne looks at me and goes, this shit ends right now. So we call the girls ahead of time. Not a great call, not my favorite call I've ever made. But the girls were awesome. They really were. No jokes about them in this story. They were really great. Very proud of them. They went into their bedrooms on their own, pulled off their mattresses, and brought them into the living room, put them out in between the couches so Pris had a place to sleep. And they stayed up with that dog all night long. They told her stories of when she was a puppy. They told her their favorite things about her. They cried. They processed emotion. Leanne cried with them, not me.
He touches his chest.
I didn't cry. I sat in my recliner and I drank whiskey and I got angry. I was looking at that, we have one dog that should have died 3 years ago. You know the dog, 21 years old, can't see, can't hear, walks into your living room at 2 a.m. just.
Open mouthed, he looks around, blinking frantically, looking more and more shocked. He turns to one side.
Her! Her! You can't even pick it up because it doesn't know you're there. You go to pick her up, she goes, her! The whole time I'm like, it should have been you, Mona. Wake up the next morning, Leanne looks at me and goes, it's time. You need to call the lady now. So I go out back. I'm still not right in my head. I remember just calling and going, you the bitch kills dogs? She goes, you got that bitch. She was cold. She goes, what breed is it, sir? I was like, does it matter? You're just killing it. She goes, what breed is it, sir? Really cold. I go, Bull Mastiff. She goes, okay, 45 minutes, I'll be there. And hangs up. I was like, I didn't even get to say, take your time. She shows up 45 minutes later, and she brings her boyfriend, which I thought was odd. I kind of thought, did they just having lunch? And she took the call and was like, hold on 1 second. Hey, I got to go kill a dog. Do you want to come? And he was like, wait, what breed is it? He doesn't even introduce himself. He just sits in Leanne's office chair in our living room and watches.
He scowls.
She gives Pris a shot to make her feel better. I know you've been there. That's the most heartbreaking moment of the whole experience, is this dog who has struggled all night holding on to life, all of a sudden has a moment of relief and is like, whoo, I'm back, baby. I'm feeling great. Who wants to go for a walk, huh? You guys thought I was gonna die. I'm not dying today. I'm gonna go, you jerking off? I'm gonna go out back. This dog. Then she got up to get on the couch and she collapsed. And Leanne looked at me and was like, we're doing the right thing. So we put Pris on the couch. Lady says to us, now is when you wanna say goodbye to your dog. Oh. Heartbreaking. Here's the crazy thing. As a parent, sometimes you sacrifice so that your kids get the better thing, and your spouse. You give up what you need so that they can have a better experience in life, but you're still a person. And in that moment, I remember being upset that I didn't have a good spot on the dog to say goodbye. Because all the girls and Leanne were in Pris's face, telling them how much they loved her, and I'm just rubbing an ass haunch in the back. She doesn't even know I'm there. I'm like the dude in the orgy jerking off in the corner like.
As he mimes jerking off, he looks at someone, motions between himself and the other person, puts his hand up, nods, and turns to another person.
Lady comes in with the next shot, gives it to Pris. Pris passes. Last thing she sees are my girls and my wife telling her they love her. I didn't say goodbye to my dog, which is fine because in my book, I'm like, at least I didn't cry. Things settle a little bit. Boyfriend comes over. He's like, hey, I'm Nick. I was like.
He shrugs.
It's a little late for that, Nick. He says, hey, man, can you help me get your dog to our Jeep? And I realize why she brought the boyfriend. Like, in a minute, it all fucking falls. I then realize why she asked the breed. Because you know early in her career, she neglected to ask the breed to a family, killed their dog, and was standing over a Saint Bernard like.
He stares at the floor.
Oh, I should have killed this closer to the car. I hadn't cried yet, and this is what got me. For men, it's always the thing you don't expect that breaks you. When Priscilla died, she shit on the couch.
He chuckles.
The dude goes to lift her up to put her on the gurney, and as he puts his hand under it, he sticks his arm in the shit. It's hot, it's in his watch, and he goes, oh, fuck! Your dog shit on the couch! She's my dog. I went to defend her. I go, hey, it's okay, baby girl. And as I rubbed her head, I realized bull mastiffs have a very wrinkly forehead, and there were no wrinkles there.
As tears well in his eyes, he steps backwards, waving his finger.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Guys don't cry well. We don't do it well. Women, you're good with it. Guys cry like the way women shit their pants. Like, women don't shit their pants cool. Guys shit their pants slick with dignity. Guy will shit his pants and be like, whoa, I shit my pants. Don't let her take my wings. I'll be right back. Woman shits her pants and then the day is over. She's like, I just shit my pants. I have a phone on. It's in both my high heels. So I start crying like a woman shitting her pants and it's coming out everywhere. I grab the gurney and as I lift it up, I'm looking at this dude who's gagging. He's got shit all over him. It's a weird time to start crying. And I feel my daughters put their hand on my back. And they rub my back, and they walk with me. And as we walk outside, I find out that my daughters know that the only way to get me to stop crying is to make me laugh. And as we walk out our front door, the guy looks at me and he goes, hey, we're going to put her in the back of the Jeep. And Georgia, with a straight face, looks at him and goes, she usually rides up front.
With his hand up, palm open, he nods.
I'm looking at this guy who is confused as fuck.
He narrows his eyes.
He goes, I was gonna ride up front. She doesn't break. She goes, she gets car sick.
He holds his hand up.
This guy is fucking, we'll drive real slow. Put Priscilla in the back of the Jeep. Dude moves off to the side and the girls step back and I realize they're letting me say goodbye to my dog. I'm cool sharing this because I know we've all been there. They're so fucking good. I just leaned over this dog. She looks so beautiful. And I said, baby girl, I love you. You did everything that was ever asked of you. You were the best goddamn dog. You did fucking your job. You were the best fucking terrorist ever. And this guy's off the side going, shh.
As he backs up, he glances around.
She was a terrorist? Georgia's in the pocket. She goes, better than ISIS.
He closes his eyes and nods.
And then I start running through all the nicknames and all the inside jokes I have with my dog. I said, Prispotamus Pot Pie. I'm not going to cut your ears off. I used to tell her when she was a puppy, those are my fucking ears. When you die, I'm cutting them off and I'm keeping them. But now I'm looking at this beautiful dog going, he would look so silly without ears. You wouldn't make any friends in heaven. I'm not cutting your fucking ears off. And this guy's like a statue. He's like, what the fuck did he just say? He was going to cut her ears off. And Isla goes, technically, they're his ears. And then Leanne comes out, and the woman that murdered her comes out. They're all standing around me. And the last thing I say is I look at this dog. I go, baby girl, you still make my dick hard. My dick's so hard right now. I hear Leanne laughing, going, she's the only one that makes your dick hard, baby. These two are fucking frozen. Isla comes up, puts her hand on my back and goes, big guy, it's okay. Then she looks at the couple and goes, if she wakes up, you'll call us, right? That's my fucking dream team right there.
As he walks backwards, he raises his arm.
Thank you so much. God bless. Good night.
He flings the microphone down onto the stage, raises both his arms, leans his head back, claps, and bows. Audio description by Post House VSI Los Angeles. Audio description scriptwriter Mari Morrison. Audio description narrator Jonathan Bradley. Credits appear. Written and performed by Burt Kreischer. Directed by Jeff Tomsick. Executive producers Burt Kreischer, Leanne Kreischer, Judy Marmel, Jordan Levy, Jeff Tomsick, and Tony Hernandez. Produced by John Skidmore. Producer Stacey Blacker. Director of photography Jordan Levy. Edited by Dave Harrison. Other credits follow. Logos appear. Burt, Inc. Counterpart Studios.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.